Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to episode 210 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bruna Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sel Sidebottom.
And Azu.
And doesn't it feel good to be back in the groove? Underground,
yeah.
Pursued potentially by things.
Love it.
Not even sure if you're heading in the right direction with high stakes. It's just sometimes routine is nice.
It's,
you know?
We've come back full circle, you know?
Yeah, and we are pretty confident we're moving in the right direction.
Probably.
You specifically are.
Yeah. You and, it, like, so Zolf and Hamid might be. Sel rolled a natural one. And so internally, I have been playing at a Sel in their head. It's like, this is definitely the wrong way. But I mean, I haven't been in the city before. It'd be really embarrassing for them if I point that out. So, like, I think that it's probably better that we should explore this route anyway. So that.
Just well then. Oh well, Sel was too embarrassed to point it out.
So, speaking of, in our desperately brusque recaps, I believe the exact last moment was obviously I'm going to pick up exactly there because I have to. Hamid, that's all you heard, and for a little bit of extra context, there was a brief breath of air, smelt a little bit of like iron or something, and then it goes away and all the air is very, very still again. To be clear, it felt like it was something very far away, and there is no repeat.
Stop. What? There's something behind us.
What kind of thing?
I heard it. I could smell it.
Okay, if it's behind us, shouldn't we keep moving forward so it doesn't get closer?
Just give me a second. I just want to see if I can... I can't still hear it. I don't know if it's following us. Sorry, I needed more quiet just to listen harder. But yes, I think we can keep moving.
Okay, all right. Keep our ears peeled? Is that the expression? anyway.
Well, ear, you know, singular sometimes.
Ah, yes.
You all continue on down this route, etc.
Hamid will start glancing backwards even more often than he was before.
That's fine. Can everyone give me a perception check, please?
Another one. Crikey.
23.
17.
31 for Hamid. A natural one for Skrark.
Oh. 33.
Cool. In that case, then, Skrark's natural one manifests as a meaningful glance to Sel, because I now have two party members who are like, I'm pretty certain this is the wrong way, but I'm going to see it out. In terms then of next steps, what happens is, heading down this corridor, you come to what is effectively another junction of sorts. One which is heading ahead and sort of off to the left a little bit and seems to be pitching up slightly. And one that curves off to the right and then leads to a downwards staircase, worked stone, big chunky buttress style stuff. And for the people who got 30s, the route that was not the downward staircase, there is a very, very distant sound right on the edge of hearing. It's that sound of, you know, when you have like a really dry, dead tree in a windy place, and you have that sort of like.
Alex, do you ever need Foley? This is terrible.
I told you, I did an improv show where I just had to learn how to do all of it on a microphone because it was all improvised. Mouth Foley's a thing. It's great.
Ah, Mouth Foley is my burlesque name.
But yeah, anyone who hit 30, you hear that right at the edge. Was it Hamid that got the 31, or was that Skrark, did you say? It was Hamid, wasn't it?
Hamid got 31, but Azeld, you got 33, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, so to be clear, the reason that I'm saying that is everyone who hit 30 can hear that. Hamid, to be very, very clear, it's a completely distinct sound from that sort of earlier breath, completely distinct.
Mm. But Azeld will turn to Hamid. I can hear it up there, right?
No, that's something else. That sounds more like maybe a tree or something wooden. The other thing was back that way and is breath or something of some kind. It's a different sound.
So which way do we go?
We don't want to go further down, do we? I can certainly hear something wooden in that direction. I don't know what that means.
We need to go forward. We can't turn back.
I haven't really been to central London or, in fact, above ground much at all. Is the kind of place that we're looking for made of wood? Is it like a wooden tower?
Not really.
This conversation is eerily similar to one I've had to people visiting London trying to navigate the tube system. It is just so on point.
You're assuming that I know what West Minster is. What's East Minster? Do we want to go towards the creaky wood sound? Is that the sort of sound of the sort of place we want to go to? Like, is Westminster made of wood?
I'm not certain, but I feel like we don't want to go down any further, probably.
It sounded like it was an above-ground place.
So that way?
Alex, just to specify, is there literally nothing else that is giving us any indication of a correct way to go?
Skrark is currently poking around the staircase whilst you all are talking. He's literally just, like, having a look around. It's sort of his job is to make sure nothing's going to trap you, like, accidentally or whatever. And then he sort of gives a quiet little gesture to you, Zolf, and sort of is pointing at one of the big, massive buttresses of the staircase.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I'll pop over.
It's another ancient Greek one. It again, doesn't really translate. It's the equivalent of, if you want to go up in the world, you've got to go down, lol. It's very, like, overworked, bad Greek joke again.
Yeah. It sounds like something a Greek philosopher would write, to be honest, yeah.
It sounds like something Bertie would write.
Weirdly enough, there's this entire extra section that just says, like, there's a solution to this theorem, which is so easy, I'm not even going to bother write it down. But, you know, that's kind of irrelevant.
We can't go down. Posh student rubbish.
Okay.
It's almost like this whole country is mostly, like, led by posh students.
Hopefully not anymore.
Right. Okay. It'd be terrible if that happened in the future, wouldn't it? Posh people who went to school together and understand each other. Weird.
Quoting ancient Greek to each other.
Yeah.
For the listeners, I've just watched my entire cast do the Kermit the Frog tea sip. And I don't think it was intentional, but everyone simultaneously. Okay, so was that just confirming I heard right? Was that just heading down the staircase then?
Yeah.
I'm going to trust the Greek because we have no better way to do.
Sure. Assuming, till I'm told otherwise, that you're using an approximation of the marching order that you gave me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hamid, for free, as you're the last one down the staircase, you hear from the tunnel that you have been walking down again, the with the little metallic tang breeze.
Okay, so it's behind us, as in it's the direction we've come from.
Yes.
Can I get a sense of how far away it is and how far away it was before?
Impossible to tell.
Yeah, fair enough.
You get the feeling that it's probably following, because it was that hard to hear at the Y junction. Either there's some very odd acoustic properties, which isn't impossible, or it's probably following you, but distance is completely impossible to gauge. You suspect it's probably there's a magical thing at play, because you shouldn't have been able to feel a breeze like that from something so far away. It's odd.
God, imagine if it's literally just inches behind us. Ugh.
Thanks, Helen.
Well, we can see a certain distance thanks to dark vision.
True.
Oh, it's definitely nothing within your dark vision, just for free. Heading down into the down the staircase, it's worked stone and it hasn't... You know when you get some of those older staircases where there's like a groove where so many people have walked it?
Yeah.
It does not have that, to be clear. Like this. No, the reason I'm saying it is I'm trying to lay on that it, you still have the feeling that no one's really been here in a vast amount of time and it wasn't busy even when it was. But the staircase is in good condition the way that the, all of the higher bits weren't. No cracks. It's in nice solid condition. And it's not very long. It's not like it's a long spiral staircase. It's kind of squared off. It only goes down, say, 40 feet or so, and then it just completely levels off. And the tunnel that you're looking at from this point seems in slightly better condition, but it also has statues laid into alcoves intermittently between the stone buttresses. So it's like, you know, stone buttress, maybe 10-15 feet, a statue, 10-15 feet, stone buttress. Rather creepily, though, given that there's no water, all of the features have eroded off the statues. They have lumps where their arms used to be. They have a sort of a lump where their head used to be, but there isn't actually anything distinguishing there. It's like they've been water damaged, but it is bone dry and the air is very still.
Well, this is creepy.
I'm not technically playing Skrark right now, but I might suggest that he would check for traps, wondering if the water damage is a sign that there's some sort of liquid release.
That's absolutely fine. I'm going to do that roll now. And he's certain, no. He comes back and is just like, it feels very trappy, but it's not. And that's kind of weirder to me.
Maybe the trap is at the other end.
I think I heard the breathing behind us again. I think there is something following us, but it's so hard to tell.
All right, in which case, two options. We keep going, try and outrun it, or we stop now, turn around and fight it on our terms.
What if we laid our own trap? Oscar, you could cast an illusion of us continuing on and we could hide behind these statues and see if something is following us.
Yeah, that should be straightforward. Obviously, the illusion will peter out at a certain distance.
Does the illusion only cover sight, or if it's following us with like heat signatures and like smell?
Wild has a sort of momentary sort of old style smirk and turns to Sel. To lesser minds perhaps, but for one as well versed as me in the art of not just illusion, but humanity and all
right,
of the trappings.
Yeah, all right, Oscar, come on.
Yeah, it's fine, don't worry about it.
Still may not be worth doing, but it's an option.
The trouble is we get attacked and we get sandwiched in the back, right? Like, that's the danger here. It's going to be dangerous to wait for this thing, but if it's just it and we've got the drop on it, it might be the... I don't know, it's not my call, but...
Should we ask Babbage what he thinks as well? Because... he's also at risk if we risky.
Yeah. And I'll kind of like wobble around to kind of show the rucksack at people so they can pick up the little headphones.
So back when we had the very first conversation with him, they said there was an option to do it through headphones or to just like turn on a speaker system.
You can turn on a speaker if you need. It's been left as the headphones for the sake of like stealth.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello! How is everyone? What are we doing?
Is somebody going to grab a speaker? The headphones.
Oh, it actually has a switch.
No.
Oh.
He can't see anything or sense anything. He's going to have no tone control. Somebody just talk to him, for goodness sake.
Oh, okay. So puts on. Hi, Babbage.
Ooh. Hello.
Hi. I'm really excited to meet you.
A pleasure, of course.
It's wonderful. The equipment that you're in is so incredible.
Sel.
Did you help us? Oh, sorry. So we are being stalked through some underground tunnels, and we wanted to know your opinion on whether you feel okay with us laying a trap and fighting it, or whether we should just, like, aim for the goal, you know, like, keep going. Because, of course, you are at risk just as much as us, so you should have an input on that.
Okay. Give me a moment for the context shift.
Oh, sure. Hi.
Any idea what you're being pursued by at all?
Absolutely none, no.
I would press on until you have a tactical advantage, but again, I'm not a trained killer, so...
Neither am I. Alchemist. But it does help the killer.
Ooh, we should talk sometime. I've been having
let's
a lot of interest with the solute calculations, because...
Sel! Yeah, okay. Sorry, I'll be back. Sel takes her headphones off, hangs them up, and says, he thinks that we should press on until we have a tactical advantage.
Yeah, but is this not the tactical advantage we have? Hamid has suggested laying a prop.
Oh, okay.
That's right, my point.
Puts their headphones
no, sorry, I don't want to be I don't want to be offensive, but can somebody else talk to Babbage, please? We need to do this quickly.
Sel hands Zolf the headphones.
Right, fine. Hey, Babbage, it's Zolf. I don't think you've met me, but anyway, we think we do have a tactical advantage. We're going to hide behind some statues and ambush it.
Okay, thank you. Try not to die.
Yeah, I'm going to try real damn hard. Thanks, bye. Take it off.
This is such an odd dynamic, and I love it.
Yeah. Right, yeah, no, he said, all right, fine, try not to die, which is the plan.
Cool. Okay.
Good.
There's a risk this doesn't work, but I think this gives us a chance.
It might be a friend, you know?
I am presuming that everyone isn't going to try and hide behind one statue, Scooby-Doo style.
Scooby-Doo time!
I have to
Scooby-Doo
ask because
time.
There's sufficient space that you could all squidge in behind an illusion, but I'm just curious what the plan is here.
I'm going to cast invisibility 6 times.
Oh, ooh. Brilliant. Yeah, that worked.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, you've got the spell slots for it.
I mean, I suggest we still stand behind the statues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't you
but in case it has see invisible things or whatever, but...
Now, here's a question, and this is mechanical. Babbage is a backpack. Does that cover both me and Babbage, or is Babbage another mind?
Now, I am going to give you a GM ruling, okay? Really good question. I did an actual deep dive into Pathfinder to, like, okay, what would that actually entail? And have decided that the official rules as written answer is, quote, bloody nonsense, unquote. So, yes.
Sure.
For the sake of ease, and with no comments with regards to the actual, like, moral ramifications thereof, mechanically speaking, the Babbage Array will be treated as a sentient object.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, actually, that's a good point, actually. Bertie's sword had personhood. It was a sentient sword and still would be affected by...
Exactly.
Yeah,
mechanically, I am... Even though technically those arguments we made for, like, construct templates and la 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 la...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am treating the Babbage Array as a sentient object. Please do not read into that. It's just a mechanical term that allows me to categorise how things work.
It also means you don't just drain a spell slot out of us for, you know...
Yeah, it just wouldn't work, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other way.
Sure.
So that's fine. So, yeah, invisible 6 times.
Yeah, and I was actually personally really hoping there were 6 statues lining this corridor so we could each hide behind a different one, because I think that's the coolest.
There are. Technically, there's more,
cool.
But... If you want to each go behind one invisible, you absolutely can. There's
cool.
More than enough.
Yeah, looking okay. Forward
cool.
To that.
Yeah.
Is there one that will that is Azu's size?
So they all appear to be human statues.
Okay.
However, they all come with plinths, and there seems to have been some slightly artistic license. You know, where, like, statues are just that little bit larger than life kind of thing. I think you will be able to. It'll okay. Be a little bit trickier for you, but you're invisible, so eh.
True.
So, yeah, they're of sufficient size and sort of, like, wants grandeur that you'll be okay.
Cool. Good. Just wanted to know whether, like, it's going to be a whoop looking over the top of the head thing.
Or... No, you're okay. You can choose to if you wish.
No, she's going to pick one and, like, yeah.
In that case, then, can I please get everyone to give me a stealth check?
So remember, you get plus 40 because you're stationary with invisibility.
Good stuff.
The likelihood of this noticing you is approaching vanishingly small.
Do you know what I rolled? 40.
Oh, God.
Total.
I rolled an effective 0.
Wow.
Deary me.
Incredible.
Thank goodness for invisibility.
Well, let's see if I can match you.
Remember, we also have Boots of the Cat Burglar, which give you a reroll on one stealth, climb or acrobatics check per day if you took them.
I don't.
That's true.
Yes, I have my levitation boots.
I rolled 49.
Well, I've got 45, and then what do we add? No, wait, 35.
40 for the...
35 plus 40, okay.
Yeah.
Did you roll 75?
Yeah, I've got 75 with that.
That's quite high.
Well, it's really annoying that it's the first, like, high roll that Sel's actually rolled. Like, there's been a lot of twos and fours.
Hamid has 72. And Skrark has 84.
Of course.
New record for highest roll of the campaign.
I mean, that tends to happen when you add 40 to a roll, really.
Yeah.
Right, I'm setting you the target now. I don't care how it happens, I want to break 100 in a Pathfinder game. I've never done it. It's really difficult to do unless you start doing GM fiat, but I want to break 100.
Just squeech us up to like level 18. It'll be fine.
I forgot to apply the effects of heroism, which is still active, I believe.
Should be, timing-wise.
I cast it before the evil fight.
How long does heroism last?
110 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah, that'll still be going.
So it's actually
you're
86.
At the tail end of it, but it'll still
be
going.
Yeah, 86.
We're getting you there. We'll get you to 100. All right. So, everyone please give me a perception check.
Yes.
Can I get you to roll for Skrark, please, and I'll roll for Wild.
Natural 20, 32.
You guys are on a roll today.
Really,
I'm loving it.
I'm not. 19.
18 for Hamid and 24 for Skrark.
26.
26. Okay, cool. I got 26 from Cell and I got... what was Zolf's one more time?
32 with a natural
32.
20.
I got no one higher than those two, have I?
No.
Okay, then I'll start with Zolf. The first thing that you notice... And it takes a little while. You do eventually hear a kind of creak back towards the stairway and then quiet. And then you're straining your ears for a sound that isn't there. Worth stating as well that, Wild did cast the illusion, as you said, of you all sort of dawdling a little bit. It appears that he's taken a little bit of creative license, and Zolf and Cell seem to be arguing as they walk along. You can actually hear a whispered conversation, which pretty much boils down to, "But Babbage is so smart and funny. None of you are smart and funny," in Cell's voice, with Zolf being like, "I don't care if you're smart and funny. I need you to just hit things." Like, it's that kind of staged...
Wow.
Faux argument walking down the corridor.
Wild made it as tight five as well.
The first thing that you notice after that noise, though, is as you're straining, there isn't that sound. And for what it's worth, Wild has done a good job on volume where, like, it's not interfering. You feel the ambient temperature start to drop. At first, it's quite subtle. The air is still perfectly still. There's not a breath of wind, but the temperature just starts to drop and drop and drop.
Where is it? Sorry, I think you were going to finish this, but basically, is it becoming like uncomfortable? Is it supernatural, or is it just kind of a bit cold?
Supernatural, uncomfortable, but I will let you know if it's approaching the point where you're all likely to take any harm or anything like that.
Okay. Could be a cold, friend.
If you need to interject at any point and, like, make a call, that's fine, but just be aware that you'll be sacrificing position for it if you're yelling out, "Endure elements!"
Yeah.
The invisibility will last, given there's the earliest one versus the latest one, it will last approximately 10 minutes, just FYI.
That's fine. That's more than enough time. What's interesting is, I'm going to add some flavour here, please don't freak out. I am factoring in that you rolled astonishingly good on stealth. Zolf, at some point you realise that you're starting to see your breath in front of you even though you're invisible, and start, like, you know, covering your mouth. I'm going to let other people make their own conclusions as they start noticing that. You all rolled high enough on the stealth, don't worry about it. But cold, really cold. And you start seeing a layer of frost gently working its way from the way you came. And then with no real sound, a single blue skeletal foot steps level with Zolf's statue, and there's another
wait, so there's just the foot,
just a foot, so
right,
far
so there's
I'm for, okay, cool. For the sake of it, I'm basically saying that the angles aren't working well. Let me my fluff and then you'll see.
okay,
it has moved away from the stairs, and the first thing that comes into sight is that foot, followed by,
right,
as the description unfolds, the rest of a leg,
okay,
and a
cool
body. Here we
I just
go.
Thought maybe that was deliberate and there was an invisibility cloak involved.
Or there's just like a foot kind of wading its way down like a snake.
Spooky foot!
So, Zolf, with your perception check, it's not touching the floor. It's moving like it's touching the floor, but it's not actually touching the floor.
Sure.
As it pulls forward, it starts to reveal itself further, And at first glance, it has a skeletal vibe. It has a large buckler on one arm and a big spear on the other, but it doesn't seem to be wielding them like weapons. It looks more like they've frozen into their hands. It looks like, weirdly enough, it looks like an ancient warrior lost in a glacier. That's the best description I can give. Sure. Semi-petrified by the cold, but not in a real way. There is cold radiating out in like an ice star from where its feet are notionally touching the ground. But it is not looking around. It's not casting around. It just sort of stares fixedly and perfectly still. And then the sort of wild illusion that makes it particularly loud. I don't care. And then it just starts to pull forwards again very slowly. It doesn't seem to be stalking so much as just arbitrarily following.
Right. What's a friend?
If people want to do any kind of surprise attacks or whatever, that's fine. It is very clear this thing has not noticed. It is just working its way along the corridor towards that illusion slowly. The cold is palpable as it draws near you, to be clear. You don't want to touch this thing with bare skin, but it doesn't seem interested in the statues or even potentially aware of the world around it, and it just starts moving on. And with that, I'm going to take a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. This is Helen, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and host of our chat show, Enthusiasm. If you haven't heard yet, Rusty Quill has a brand new original audio drama, Trice Forgotten. Trice Forgotten is a swashbuckling found family adventure created by Nemo Martin. Alestes likes to keep her head down while she works as a merchant, couriering deliveries and carrying travellers to destinations across the seas. Only, as her travellers gradually become permanent crewmates, she realises her ship has become a floating museum, a laboratory, a vault of repatriated treasures, and a chef's kitchen. After spending most of her life with the understanding that nothing changes, no matter how hard you fight, Alestes is faced with a choice. Will she use her new network of allies to build a safe harbour and potentially a future for her new community, or will she once again put her head down and drown in her sea of excuses? Trice Forgotten is the latest audio drama from Rusty Quill, creators of multiple award-winning podcasts, including The Magnus Archives and Rusty Quill Gaming. Search for Trice Forgotten, that's T-R-I-C-E, wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.rustyquill.com for more information.
And welcome back. So, if people want to interject as it moves past, please feel free. But I'm just openly stating at this point, it clearly hasn't noticed you and is just following the party. Wild also did a thing where the party sort of stops for a little bit, has a natter, moves on. When it does, the creature sort of stops a fixed distance from them and then moves on. It's not stalking ever closer so much as maintaining a distance.
Friend!
Is it making the same sound that I heard, that breathing sound?
Not the breathing sound, no.
This is the creaking sound, right?
That's weird. Alex, why are you being weird and misleading? I hate it.
Wouldn't it be weirder if he wasn't being weird, right?
Yeah.
We know how suspicious we get when he starts being nice. Mm.
I can't give you an empty corridor with no doors. It slows the party to a crawl as you all seek and deconstruct it, finding the threat. But yeah, this thing starts moving on and the illusory party start moving beyond the range of your dark vision.
I think Azu is going to cast Detect Evil.
Okay, so as far as I'm aware, that's not a spell, it's a supernatural ability that you have, is that correct?
Yes, Detect Evil I have within 60 feet.
It's also not an offensive ability, so it wouldn't break invisibility regardless.
Oh, I'm talking more like whether you have to yell,
Oh, right.
I'm going to have a look at you, Sonny, and see how you interact with my jellies. No, you're fine. Okay.
How you interact with my jellies?
Yeah. I watched Detective Pikachu recently, yeah. This is you checking your jellies.
Okay.
You can feel it in your jellies. So, yeah, it's evil.
Oh.
However, you aren't able to glean more. You don't know whether it's something that was once good and has become evil. You don't know if it's off the charts evil. It isn't evil, like, you know how the thing that attacked you was like, oh no, this wants the world to die?
Yeah.
This is just on the wrong side of the moral scale. Choose from that what you will, but it's not good. It's not neutral. It is evil. It does wish harm upon living things. You can just know that.
Okay, so Azu is going to realise all that and then realise that she can't actually communicate that to anyone without yelling across the corridor.
Y'all are invisible and comparatively spaced out.
Mm.
As the illusion moves out of range of your dark vision, the creature, let's call it, continues to move in that direction and very soon will be out of the range of your dark vision in that direction. It doesn't seem to have reacted to the illusion breaking away or anything like that yet.
Mm.
Anyone choosing to do anything else? This isn't me trying to force anything, I'm just checking in.
Like, Sel can't tell that it's evil, and Sel hopes it will be a friend, but Sel doesn't want to, like, break the illusion.
Hamid wants to attack it so badly, but he's not giving in to his aggressive instincts.
I've got Babbage, so I'm not doing nothing.
Mm.
Scrog screams, have at you, and reveals the party because Alex chooses. No, you're fine. What follows, though, is just as your attention is fixated on that, this is based on the original perception check,
mm-hmm.
Zolf, there's a growing metallic tang in the air, a scent that seems distinct from the creature that has passed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have no way of communicating this to the party, but...
No. What I would say is the rest of the party aren't even going to notice this. This is really, like, high-level perception check territory. But it starts growing and you go, like... It's like... If any of you have smelt like a significant amount of blood, you know, that sort of like iron ferrite sort of smell, that.
Yeah.
And it seems to be drawing closer from the direction that you came.
Yeah.
So the ice thing has moved past and something else seems to be approaching behind it.
Fun. Yeah,
okay, so that's really the thing we're waiting for.
Yeah.
At which point, as the ice thing genuinely just moves out of your like perceptive range, everyone does then finally hear a... And there is a gust of warm air that blows through the corridor, disturbing the dust, and the iron smell wafts over everyone. Who isn't wearing a night vision thing for my records?
I'm not.
So I've got Azu and Zolf, I think.
Yeah,
and Skrark. Skrark won't need to wear one because Skrark has dark vision.
And Skrark, yeah. Okay. Azu and Zolf, you start to see a fine red mist is starting to work its way down the corridor very languidly, sort of reaching out and wafting and so on.
Ooh.
But it isn't moving with a breeze. It is sort of moving as if it's just distributing through a space, you know, like smoke in a closed room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very slowly. Anyone wearing the goggles, you currently aren't able to see it. But it is just working its way closer and it seems to be filling the space, but it is not moving in a way that feels natural. At no point is it sort of dissipating. It's just moving almost like a wall of gas. You can see through it, to be clear. And if you invisible chose, I'm giving you this for free, to look down the corridor, you would be able to see the staircase behind it, but it is working its way down the staircase, elongating out and then working its way down the corridor towards you all.
Is it filling all the nooks and crannies, or is it like in a ball? Or
it's exploring nooks and crannies.
Oh, we're gonna get touched by red mist.
Yep, I've got. If it touches me and tries anything, I've got a plan, but we'll see.
Keep your blood to yourself.
Yeah. Zol screams, "I do not consent," and then glaives it in the face.
It's a vampire cloud. Official name, vampire cloud.
So I need to know. Obviously, you've all have given me kind of comparative marching orders previous for free. I need to know who is closest to the stairwell. These statues came in pairs and are working their way down the corridor away from the stairwell. I need to know what pairing of people are closest to the stairwell. To be clear, I don't care who. Mm-hmm. And I realise that I could have enforced it on marching order. I don't really care, but I need to know who.
I think it makes sense that if Cell was fourth in the thing, that they're near the back there. So in one of the back corners.
So the back two were Wild and Hamid.
Oh, I forgot Wild.
But I don't know whether you've inverted that, so it's Scrock and Azu, for instance. Or whatever.
Wild will have to be towards the front to maintain the illusion for the longest period of time.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense, which is why I'm opening this up. Just who's towards the stairs? I don't mind who.
I would suggest the most likely arrangement is Azu and Scrock closest to the stairs, Hamid and Zolf in the middle, and Cell and Wild furthest from the stairs.
That scans to me if it scans to everyone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So we sort of opposited it. But yes, I suppose we would have because...
Yeah, not fully, but...
We wanted to prepare for the...
Partly, yeah.
To throw the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. In which case, then, the cloud starts moving up towards the first pair of people at statues, and it's sort of exploring its way out and so on.
Azu is going to hold her breath.
Cool. It was Azu and Scrock at closest, right?
Yeah, neither of them are wearing the goggles.
That's fine. I know what's happening to Scrock, but none of you can see or hear, so I just know. Anyone wearing the goggles, though, you can't see anything yet. You have the smell, and there's that waft that you had earlier, but there is no visual component to it. And then as it moves along, it draws between the two statues, and then it kind of hesitates and stops. And then tendrils just start to reach out very languidly to either side and start reaching obviously around the statues. It doesn't look like it's got arms or anything like that, but it is clearly willfully expanding to fill the space to either side. If people want, I can do an initiative or I can continue to describe. If you were waiting for it to come near before you give it a whack, Azu, let me know. Otherwise, I'll carry on.
I mean, it's just a red mist.
I need a decision from you specifically, Azu. Because I'm deciding for Scrock what's happening.
Azu is going to wait and continue holding her breath. She doesn't know anything about it yet. And if it's a mist, an axe may not do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. A voice then emanates from it. None of you speak the language. Roughly sounds something along the lines of... Another waft of iron smell comes from it. And at that point...
Can I cast Comprehend Languages?
You can, but I'll need a stealth check for you to do it without just going, what are you saying?
Cool.
I'd just like to remind you, Alex, that Scrock is extremely competent and cautious and would obviously, if he knew this to be dangerous, would... raise the alarm.
Scrock yells out to Hamid, I'm huffing as hard as I can, but I can't seem to breathe it all in. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Cool. That stealth check was 28 plus. What do we get from visibility?
It's fine. I can mass it at my end quickly.
Okay, cool.
In that case, then, yeah, you get comprehend languages. It doesn't seem to react.
Yep.
You catch the tail end of...
Hiding will do little to assist.
And it's definitely reaching towards...
You can't see it.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, because that is not enough evidence to break out.
Your taste, so sweet, your taste.
So are we in initiative now, Alex?
No,
not yet. No one's done anything aggressive.
Okay, in which case, going to chug my alchemical allocation... Usually these are things that Cell doesn't do because they take too many things, but this is how they can do the most damage for the... I've used one and one second level, and then we'll... I don't know where the thing is.
Would that the master would let me sup upon your taste.
Oh! Oh,
so sweet.
Don't like it.
Patience, I will dance in your bones.
I don't think it's a friend, you guys.
No. Yeah,
I don't think it's a friend. Don't think it's a friend, but Cell can't see it. So, like, where does one shoot one's electrical dragon breath? Is this a dilemma?
At this point, I am going to make a call and say, Azu.
Yeah?
What's your touch AC?
That's fine. You've got good touch AC, I think. Because it's minus your dex mod.
I haven't put it on my sheet, Felix.
What's your AC?
23.
What's your dex mod?
0.
Your touch AC is 23, then.
Really?
I think so, yeah, because touch is just, like, your armour and stuff. You're not able to, like, dodge out of the way, so you just lose your dex bonus, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, it also removes deflection and dodge bonuses if you have any of those. It's probably likely to be 22, I would guess.
For why?
What did you say? The what bonuses?
It's very likely you have a ring of protection, which gives you plus one deflection bonus, I'm just guessing here.
Yes, I have a deflection. Yes, it's 22, you're right.
Perfect. In that case, then, the cloud seems to pull away from the middle and seems to be almost trying to pull itself in both directions. And Cell, you hear the equivalent of,
Just a taste. Just to feel it so strange. So strange. What are you? What are you?
At which point, it reaches out quite heavily and seems to make a decision towards Azu.
Okay.
And then just sort of expands to fill the space around the alcove. And then small tendrils start sort of trying to explore where you are. It seems to know where you are.
Okay.
However, you manage to sort of do that. No touchy. No. But you are actively having to move to do so. At this point, I'm going to require initiative.
Wait. Touch AC versus flat-footed AC. It's... No, your flat-footed would be 22. Your touch is going to be garbage.
That's what I thought.
It's the opposite.
That's what I thought it was garbage.
It's the other way around. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Your touch AC is the one where you only apply the dex and deflection bonuses.
Bryn's right. I blew past that. Oh, Bryn's right.
So that means it's 11.
I think your touch AC is 11, I'm afraid.
I admit, when you said it was 23, I was like, that feels wrong. Yeah. And I didn't speak up. And that's on me.
Sorry, the atmosphere was too stressful, and I forgot how the rules worked, Alex. It's your fault for creating such a terrible encounter.
We've found a way around Bryn's superpowers.
Yeah. Stress him out.
Just intense spooks.
What I was going to say was, if that thing comes absolutely directly into Azu's space, she's gonna channel positive energy at it.
So, I'm going to say that it gets its first reach out because it hasn't done anything aggressive, and then just goes, I'm gonna be aggressive.
Yeah.
And you don't speak the language, so it's not like you have a run up.
No.
All you're hearing is,
I'm going to say that Azu thinks that sounds evil.
Yeah. It sounds evil. It does sound evil. At which point, then, it reaches out and it basically almost caresses your face. You immediately take 1 bleed damage. You need to track this yourself. At the start of every turn, until you deal with this, you will continue to take 1 damage.
Okay.
Additionally...
Yeah?
Bear with me.
Oh, no. Don't like that.
You take 3 con damage.
I take what?
3 con damage.
Oh. Alex, you are brutal.
So my con is now 11 instead of 14.
Yeah.
That's correct.
But your maximum hit points will have just dropped by 22.
The creature says, this is before I roll into initiative,
so good, so fresh. I want more.
No. No cake for you.
Now can I get an initiative roll from everyone, please?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay, so, Bryn, you said that my maximum hit points has dropped.
Just dropped by 22.
So my maximum hit points is now 76.
Oh no, nearly as low as Cell's total.
I know! Terrifying.
But that is actually very bad because Cell is not usually near a fight.
So what have I got for Zolf?
25.
25. What have I got for Hamid?
28.
Sel?
24.
Azu?
8.
Good.
F*** you, Alex.
You made me laugh so hard I hemorrhaged dice.
Good.
You know, as opposed to you who are just hemorrhaging.
No more dice for Alex. We've lost dice privileges.
Take his dice away.
Okay, so top of the initiative then, Hamid. You hear a creepy voice and smell lots of blood.
Yes, I can't understand it or see anything. It has just attacked Azu and injured her. Has Azu made a noise?
Azu's hard enough trained that I'll let Helen make a call as to whether you make a noise deliberately or not. You are trained enough to not have gone, oh no, ah.
Azu is still trying to hold her breath. I don't know.
Then you won't have heard a thing.
If there's no noise from Azu, Hamid holds his action.
Understood. In which case then, Sel, you are up. Same situation.
Sel also holds action, like, to all of Sel's knowledge and presumably to Hamid's, if we haven't seen or heard anything from Azu, can't see the mist.
Yep.
The thing is not in the room yet. It's not here, you know?
Understood. Zolf, you can see an horrible mist going for where you last saw Azu. You can hear horrible language, but don't know what language it is. Oh, and you can smell wafts of blood, obviously.
I'm going to ready an action.
Yep.
As soon as Azu makes a noise or an obvious movement, I am going to fire a searing light at this thing.
So just to repeat so I've had it right, if Azu does anything discernible, basically you're going to burn this thing from the inside out.
If Azu makes any, I'm under attack or I'm taking aggressive action, I will searing light this thing.
Understood. In which case then, if a creature continues to attempt to basically just have a little bit of Azu, just a little bit, just a little taster, just a num num num.
I feel like it's licking my face.
It's a puppy.
No, bad puppy.
Dealing a further 5 bleed damage. So you will now at the start of each turn be taking 6 damage and a further 1 con damage.
Oh no.
Okay. Oh dear. Okay, so how much more does my total hit points go down by?
That dropped it from 11 to 10, so the good news is your hit points didn't change that time.
Okay.
And to be clear, it's not that you feel like spiritually weaker or anything. This thing is literally like drinking your blood and sucking it through your skin. It's not even made a wound.
Disgusting.
It is just going...
The world's worst hickey.
Absolutely.
Just the worst. Just the worst. Wild takes an action that none of you can discern anything of, I'm afraid. Skrark is up. We're in combat, so I'm happy to give you Skrark.
Yeah.
Skrark is a bit of an odder situation.
So,
because of the whole going for the other person.
They can see what's happening, though.
Exactly.
So I think Skrark does something. I'm just not sure entirely what.
The eternal cry of all players everywhere.
Yeah. Like, Skrark can see this thing. He can tell it's attacking Azu, but, I mean, unless Knowledge Dungeoneering gives him some guide as to how he can hurt it.
Give me a Knowledge Dungeoneering. For listeners, by the way, I tend to be a little bit loose and fast with knowledges because technically it's like you can know this thing about this creature and this thing. I basically go with what sounds like it makes sense and then go from there.
23.
Sapient gases are a thing. Magic weapons tend to work well against them. However, this kind of thing can unfortunately be anything from a minor inconvenience to easily the most deadly thing you've ever faced. Very difficult to decide.
I think Skrark is going to back off and use his draconic breath on it.
Ooh, cool. So, walk us through the draconic breath, because I don't think Skrark's ever used it, has he?
I think he has. He has basically a weak form of Hamid's draconic breath. He is part dragon, and he is getting gradually more dragony, much like Hamid is. He can create a cone of fire once per day, but it doesn't do very much damage. But it might light it up and let everyone else know that we should be attacking this thing because it's attacking Azu.
Sure, but it does some damage.
Yeah. And it'll tell us about this thing too.
Yeah, so Skrark will sort of move. Skrark is technically still invisible until the breath goes off, so he'll move into the middle of the corridor, back away from this thing, and then breathe dragon fire at it, but he'll aim the cone so it doesn't go towards Azu.
Yep.
Double six!
Whee!
So that's 12 damage, correct?
Reflex save for half.
Nope. So, to describe the sequence of actions quickly to people...
12 fire damage. Skrark is no longer invisible.
Well, it's more than that. So Skrark becomes visible, 12 fire damage into this thing. This thing seems to catch. It seems to, like, whoomph and take a bunch of extra. It doesn't explode or anything like that, but it is very clear to everyone, just for free, this thing's clearly vulnerable to fire.
Mm.
It just catches in a big thing, and you all hear a...
What does it mean? In, like,
I mean, technically, I have to bleep certain swears, so...
Oh, okay, cool. Gotcha.
It's more of a curse. Yep. It's,
maybe Comprehend Languages has, like, censorship built in, so it's just like, beep!
It's more like, by the goodly gods, fy their ways, or something as a curse.
I see.
At which point, it immediately seems to start, like, retracting from Azu. Ben?
Hmm?
Given your readied action thing, I would allow this to trigger your readied action. I'll be generous and let you make the call, because it is a combat thing, and it'd be very difficult to discern whether it's Azu doing it or not, so I'll let you make the call.
Okay, cool. I mean, the corridor's already lit up because of the fire, which is fine.
Yep.
But that means the searing light isn't going to, like, you know... It's whatever, doesn't matter. Yes, yeah, so I will step out and fire Searing Light. So basically, I mean, it's sort of a Kamehameha, right? Like, I hold my palm out. Searing Light fires out of my palm.
So you hold your palm, you start saying, three episodes later, you say, ring!
Yeah.
Give me the rolls.
Yeah, and actually the somatic component is... the verbal component, because I've described the somatic, is me sort of like not shouting it, but basically saying, you don't belong in the next world.
Ooh, I like that.
Range touch attack. Okay. So what is its touch AC?
Pretty poor. Give me the roll.
Oh, yeah, that's a 25.
yeah. It's a massive cloud that likes touching, like... everything, so funnily enough.
Yeah. Is this creature undead?
Yes. I feel free giving it for free because, like, it's just very obvious.
No, I have to know so I know how many damage dice I have.
Yeah, it's very obvious to you. It just is obvious.
Yeah. Is it vulnerable to bright light?
No.
Okay, fine. So I deal 10d6 damage.
And I'm happy to just tell you that because you'd have told by the dragon breath it would have revealed whether
yes.
that was the case.
Well, no, it wouldn't have. Mechanically, this is what searing light does. I need to know, so I rolled d8.
What I'm saying is, for my flavour thing,
sure.
I would have told you, like, oh, it seems to react to the light or whatever.
Okay, fair enough. So that is, what, like, 10, 18... 38 damage? What damage does it do?
Isn't searing light, like, half fire, half holy or something?
It just takes damage.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, like, genuinely, yeah. There is nothing in
creature
the spell
creature does a hurt, understood.
I guess it takes light damage. I don't know. It seems to be undefined, so...
It's fine. I do my research and know that this should have been affected by that spell specifically anyway, so you're okay. So, you pour magical energy into this thing. Obviously, your invisibility blinks yeah. off. This thing just... disintegrates from the inside out. Proper just burns, all of the tendrils burn out as if it was a flammable gas that's just caught, and it just burns itself out. What I would say, though, is that the alcove that Azu is stood in, currently invisible, is awash with blood. Absolutely awash with blood. It looks like someone had been butchering an animal in there.
Well, she can get some back now.
As it burns up, there's a moment's stillness punctuated by a... that is then cut off by a voice that echoes down the corridor going...
Nuff. Nuff.
And I will end the episode there.
Nuff.
Nuff.
Nuff. Nuff.
Like
nuff.
Apostrophe N-U-F-F.
Nuff.
I think that might have been its name... Nuff. Someone upset nuff, that nuff. We killed their pet blood mist.
I think
nuff.
Someone nuff said enough and nuff. We didn't hear the first bit.
Nuff, nuff. That's what you just heard.
It was called Nuff, Nuff, Blood Mist. The Blood Mist is a Pokemon, and it's called Nuff, Nuff, apparently.
By the way, it definitely wasn't a Nuff, Nuff, no. But yeah, the words were Nuff, Nuff,
no.
I can't believe your fire was super effective. Oh. I should have selected Ice Skeleton. Oh.
It isn't something that Cell would understand more of. This is Nuff in English.
Nuff, Nuff.
Nuff, Nuff. Okay, cool, cool. Got
and
you.
On that, I think we wrap the episode right there. So from nuff, me, nuff. Nuff, Nuff.
Nuff, Nuff.
Nuff, Nuff.
Nuff, Nuff.
Nuff, Nuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
We're going to cut the bye.
They have both, and if the editor wants to remove the bye, they can. I'll let them have access to either.
Nuff, nuff. Nuff, nuff.
We demand nuff.
It's taken us 6 years, but I finally found the correct sign off, and it's nuff, nuff. Nuff, nuff.